You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to ReWives. In today's episode, we're watching the explosive, iconic, and frankly, unbelievable Melissa and Joe Gorga debuting on The Real Housewives of New Jersey. And let me just say, it did not disappoint. I don't mean to insult my own Roni episodes, but I think this could be one of the best and definitely most iconic Housewives episodes of any franchise since its inception. It holds up. Not every episode holds up, and we're choosing episodes that hold up, that could be yesterday. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Actually, I went back several times to see if I actually was correct that Melissa and Joe Gorga, this was their like virgin maiden voyage on The Housewives. You can't even believe it. Whether you've seen it or not, you'll freak out. It's actually not believable, but it's so believable because it's so real. This is on my short list of one of the best Housewives episodes ever, with a fist fight at a christening. There was only one person who could break down this kind of madness: Jerry Springer. You are going to love this. This was epic. What a conversation. To have this discussion about this episode was like eating candy. Oh my God. It was candy with no calories. I mean, you're an icon in this space, and I think about how crowded it is and how, if you're pitching shows to people, the word talk is now sort of like a dirty word because no one can really get it right. So what do you think about all that when in watching what's going on now and how it's evolved or devolved?
Yeah, I think it's all part of the democratization of our whole culture. I mean, it started out in the media. It started out probably with talk radio. Mm-hmm. Years ago, before you were born, you know, like Larry King had a radio talk show and people would call in. Uh-huh. So that was the first time that the audience became part of the show. Mm-hmm. And people would listen because they'd love to hear the callers and laugh at that.
Right.
Then it all of a sudden went to television, and Phil Donahue came along. And again, it was Phil out in the audience talking with regular people that, and then that transformed once we had social media. The audience is now the entertainment. It used to be just a bunch of people living, executives living in New York or LA, who would decide who the next stars would be, who, you know, who the great singers will be, who's going to be in the movies. Now, all of a sudden, it's anybody on social media.
Yes.
And so that's democracy.
Okay, so
yeah.
So that totally leads into what we're talking about, because now social media stars are inarguably famous. I remember when I started coming up at the big agencies, you know, the movie stars and the TV stars, the Mariska Hargitays were the ones making the most money, and people really resented and then it was celebrity chefs. The Emeralds were making a lot of money, and sure, they resented these reality stars coming in because they don't have, you know, a skill. They're just on television living their own lives. I actually disagree, because I think the good ones do have a skill. They're producing while being, you know, in reality TV. But here we go on to Jersey, which has been a massive success. And my producer, Morgan, thought it would be tongue in cheek to pair you in this way. This show is about having accomplished, legitimate, successful media and entertainment people that I'm having a conversation with, because I tend to get a good caliber of guests on my show. And I wanted to have a conversation about these crazy shows with someone who I felt was a peer in the entertainment industry. I thought that that was a different way to do this than just me talking to somebody on these shows about these shows. So that's why I think you're amazing for this, because you're very accomplished, very smart, but also you've been in the shit pit.
I recognize that.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, no one would have picked me out of my high school yearbook or college or law school, whatever, and said, gee, he's going to be in show business. So I don't have any talent. I mean, I think I'm a, you know, I think I'm a nice guy and I'm reasonably bright, but I'm not talented in terms of what we normally think. I'm not an actor. I'm not a singer. I'm not a hunk. It's like, how did I get into this?
You must be a good director of traffic. Lucky. You must be a good communicator and connector and director of traffic. You can't have done the show that you did without being able to make the trains run on time and make people and get people to talk about the things you want them to talk about. That is a skill in and of itself. For sure, that is a talent. To me, it's as much of a talent, if not more, than just being able to play another character, because it's not as easy as it looks. And being a talk show host, having tried it for 1 year, is definitely, it's definitely not as easy as it looks. But okay, so I could talk to you for 10 hours, and I would like to, because I'm really intrigued by this. I'm really excited for today. I like popped out of bed. Okay, so we've got New Jersey. Do you watch reality TV, and do you watch The Housewives?
The answer is no.
Okay.
But I did. Well, I mean, I'm interested. I never watched my own show. Ever.
Same. I get it. Same.
Ever. I become too self-conscious of whatever. And plus, I was there. Why do I want to
Same.
See that? To go
right.
through it twice?
Right.
So, when I watch television, I watch for sports and I watch cable news.
Okay. So this is New Jersey Housewives. This
yeah,
but was...
I did watch the episode, by the way.
Oh, good.
So, well, you know, going in. Yeah, I watched. Yeah. It was season 3, episode 1.
Correct. And it's interesting to mention, so we'll get into the characters for the people listening who have or haven't watched. This is the infamous Jersey Housewives, Orange County Housewives, then New York, and then Jersey or Atlanta. That's when it started to become an actual franchise. And this show is different because the men and the children are more involved than, let's say, on New York, and also paid. In many cases, paid. The kids and the husbands are paid. And they sit down in the interview chair, which is not done on New York. And the kids really aren't either. And this, what's different about Jersey than any of the other shows is it's family. There are a lot of interconnected family members.
Yeah, that's what I saw. Yeah.
And that's not what it's like on other shows. You go in and you go alone. Your sister might be in a scene with you, but as cast members. And just to give you a little background, this episode you're watching is the first time we ever see Melissa and Joe Gorga. That's why she's introducing her life and her kids. We've never seen them before. That's Teresa's brother and sister-in-law.
Right.
And the behind the scenes, which does make sense to me, was that Teresa didn't want her sister-in-law and brother coming on to the show because it was her sister-in-law who was going to be the housewife. And it's not good for family. And if they're not close to begin with, I'm sure she didn't want to share the shine and the star, which she has after all these years, because Melissa's a star in her own right. And so there was family drama besides even just what's going on camera. There's behind the scenes, breaking the fourth wall, family drama with those two. And apparently, you know, production was talking to Melissa long before Teresa even knew that Melissa was walking into her show, which I can understand pissing her off. She's the cast member who's, you know, carried the show for the last 2 years, and now her sister-in-law is coming on. It's just all kinds of shit that happens with Bravo behind the scenes. So that's behind the scenes. But I thought, I will tell you that in watching it, other old Jersey episodes don't still play. Like, they don't hold up time-wise. And this one did. And also, I've been on some of the episodes that have been called the most iconic. And I think this was one of, if not the most iconic of all Housewives episodes I've ever seen. I couldn't believe what went on at that event.
It was addictive. I honestly, I'd never seen it. You know, I obviously know of the show. People right. are always talking about it. So I said, well, okay, I'm going to watch it, knowing that I'm coming on your podcast. And I watched it twice. Well, the first time I watched it, because I'm, you know, I've got my pad here and I'm mm-hmm. writing down who's connected to whom, because right. that's confusing. Plus, they're all brunettes.
Right.
And that, you know, no, I was thinking if they're five, there'll be a blonde. There'll be a, that's how I remember the names. But so I have these charts and figuring out how they were related. But it was fascinating. And you're right. I get how people can be dragged into this. This is a soap opera with real people.
Right. It's like a telenovela. This particular episode is an iconic episode. But in watching yeah. it back, because I watched a lot of the iconic episodes in doing this, my fiance was sitting next to me. He doesn't watch. He was compelled to. We're going to go into the details. But to me, it had a little bit of the Godfather authenticity, because they're actually speaking Italian. These aren't guys in Brooklyn eating pizza, pretending they're Italian because, you know, they have like tank tops on and their uncles are in Italy. They're speaking Italian. Like, they're legitimately, literally Italians in Jersey. And there's an authenticity to that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're my father. And I mean, it had like a reality to it, ironically, like, it, you know.
And Caroline was very protective of pasta.
Caroline was protective.
Caroline.
Yes.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So what do you think of the characters? Who did you identify with? Who did you like? What did you think? So it's Melissa, You've got Melissa, Teresa, Caroline, Kathy, who is Teresa's cousin, Teresa and Joe's cousin. Right. And then the quieter, who's the mom? What's her name? Jacqueline Larita. Jacqueline. Okay, yeah. So what did you, you're right, they are all brunettes. What did you think of the characters? Do you like any of them identify?
Well, I knew a lot of them growing up. I mean, I can imagine them as young girls, you know, in high school. And very, very open, very, they, I mean, I guess that's what you have on a reality show, but they are, whatever they're feeling, they're letting you know. There's right. There's very little hidden. There's no, I'm amazed. And I was always amazed with the people on my show. I would argue that's reality.
Right.
What we call reality shows today, it's really not reality. It's unscripted.
Produced but, reality.
Yeah, because what happens is they take a situation and then, but because the cameras are there, it is impossible that the camera does not influence how you're going to behave.
But I would say that's the same thing on your show, too. They're both, I think they're very similar.
Except the people are coming up, people that are coming on the show are coming with their real life. There's no makeup. There's no, this is, you know, they're not going to be famous. They're not going to have a career. They don't even use their real names.
But by the way, at this, when you watched this show, it's funny you say that because what you're describing in reality television is now current 2022. When you're watching it, we did our own makeup. You had your own thing. There weren't glam squads. It was real. And in fact, I would say the Jersey was the most real because it really is their family. They don't give a shit. They'll flip a table. They'll curse somebody out. They'll fight at a christening, which I really do believe would happen even if there were no cameras. It does exacerbate it. But I would say that then it was more real than now. What they made couple, you know, they probably made $25,000 each for the whole season then. Nobody was famous then. It was like just getting started. And Teresa had just gone broke or bankruptcy or something.
Yeah, but the people on our show don't, the people on our show never got paid other than the
plane
fare.
I get it, but it's not as far as, it's not as far as you think. It is now. It's very far now. It's very glammed up and glam squad and then it wasn't. It was a special occasion to get the hair and makeup. Okay. Yeah. It's just interesting. And in fact, it was the first season, Teresa pays for like over $100,000, I think it was, furniture for that big house in cash. And later they end up getting in trouble. And she and Joe, the one who had the stomach ache. They went bankrupt. But later on, they got in trouble with the IRS and both end up going to jail.
What?
Yeah, they go to jail. Both of them in real life separately. They had to serve time separately. They got divorced afterwards. But they're showing all this money on the first episode that they're paying in cash. She has no idea what he's doing with their finances. They go bankrupt. He's working at the pizza place. She's trying to put her pieces back together by selling the book. And then, which incidentally is called Skinny Italian, after I had a tremendous success, the first ever product success on this franchise with a brand called Skinny Girl. And then she does a Skinny Italian and it was a book. But anyway, so they now we're in a situation in this episode where she's trying to put pieces back together, make some money through this book, do appearances. And he's working at a pizza place after they're paying for hundreds of thousands of dollars of cash. Yeah. So they've had a ride, those two, and now they're divorced. But
and who's got the four kids?
Teresa, the one. So she has
the
four.
I'm having this conversation. Like,
it's ridiculous.
I know
it makes
really
no sense. I know. Yeah. Don't worry. It's just, as long as we don't take it too seriously. But that's the four. She has four kids.
Yes.
And her brother comes on, and I couldn't believe in watching it back.
Well, her brother is Joey, right? Who's married to Melissa.
Joey Gorga, who's, you know, the biggest real estate developer, she says, in Jersey, which who knows? And these houses are so elaborate. But I couldn't believe that Melissa Gorga and Joe Gorga were so good on their first episode ever on reality television. Think about that. That's the first time they've ever been on this show.
They were excellent.
As characters. Melissa walked right in, and then they're in a fist fight scenes later at a christening.
Yeah. Yeah, that was Yeah, that was worthy of my show.
Right? I mean, no. and what do you think that act they're doing in front of the kids?
Yeah, I see. But look, there are families that there are, you know, people behave yeah. like that.
I know.
And I'm aware of that. And you would think, I think most people would say, good Lord, the cameras are on, behave yourself. Or this is a christening. You know, you don't like the other person? Fine, don't push it. But the guys are worse than the women. I mean, the guys get into this whole macho thing about, you know, I mean, that was... You know, that's where you get these muscle shirts and that, you know, just absurd behavior. That is, you know, you wouldn't be shocked if a 10-year-old or, you know, 12-year-old on the schoolyard started acting like that. But when you got the children there and you're throwing tables over, I mean, that's where it. Where
the line.
Yeah, I thought it just went over. Was it entertaining? Absolutely.
Well, and parents who've had two heart attacks. So,
yeah, who does that?
Right. I thought that, first of all, I thought it was interesting that they did it. I think it's called in medias res or something, where it starts off and we see the incident that's going to happen. And then we went back. That's not that common in the Housewives. I thought that was very, very good production wise that we see the yes. massive incident. And then we go back and unpack it. I thought that was very yeah. cool. Okay.
Yeah. yeah.
Here's where it gets interesting. To your point, so you see that, like, he wants Teresa to get the hell away from the table. And it's like, why was I invited? And then the sister's saying it was a technicality. That is likely, it all gets mixed together in this weird soup. So, like, probably because of the show, they're not speaking. So that's very meta. And then if it weren't for the show, Teresa and Joe wouldn't be invited, meaning the show is not going to allow that. The show's like probably paying for half the christening. They want the christening to happen. They're yeah. paying for the, so they want this to sort something to happen. Of course, the show wouldn't say they want there to be a throwdown at a christening, but of course they're thrilled to have it. And in one case, you see the camera guy is obviously on the floor because the shots are coming from the floor, which was so much like your show. But that's where it becomes meta. Like, if the cameras weren't there, I don't think it would have gotten to that level. Everything is on steroids when the cameras are there. There's more alcohol oh, drunk.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
It just exacerbates issues. And then that brings up divorces that happen as a result. Not as a result. There are a lot of divorces that come during couples being on reality TV. And I wonder.
I would think you would have to know that. I mean, when you decide to sign the contract, you know, the couple, you're sitting at home with your spouse and you're saying, okay, now this is a nice amount of money and this could be kind of fun. It's an adventure. Mm-hmm. But all our dirty laundry is right out there.
Mm-hmm.
Things are going to be said because we're going to be encouraged to juice it up a bit.
Yes.
And you know, what does that do to our marriage? So the basic question I would have, if my best friend came to me and said, hey, me and my wife were thinking of going, and my wife and I were thinking of going on this reality show, I'd say, you're crazy.
Right.
I mean, I would never let someone I know have been on my talk show. My talk show was absolutely crazy.
Right.
But as I said, it was honest in terms of, the people that called us desperately wanted to be on. You could not call someone up and say, would you like to be on the Jerry Springer show? Who would say yes?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if it was just a cold call. So you would have to desperately want to be. And our number wasn't in the phone book. So you'd have to have watched the show to know who to call.
Uh-huh.
So you go through all of that. So when we got someone there and they'd be on for 10 minutes, and that's the only time they'd ever be on.
Right.
So it wasn't something that would change their life.
It's a moment. It's a little burst, right. But it's right.
But
I agree.
These reality shows, this is, and you've got kids.
No, and yeah, and you can't put it back in the box.
No. And the kids are watching this. You know, that one girl, I think she was 9. What was
Gia,
her name?
I think. Is it Gia?
Yes.
Okay. Or Melania. I don't know.
Yeah, it was Gia. Okay. So she's watching this and crying. And how does she ever, how is she ever going to forget that?
Right.
And as a result, well, now we have families getting divorced and whatever.
Well, let me ask you this question. What does it mean? They're so popular. It's so common. So I've said to Kathy Hilton in particular, what the hell are you doing this for? Like, you're a hell. Like, we understand what I was, Bethany Frankel was doing it for. I had $8,000 to my name. I went on the show. Yes. It changed my life. I went in for 3 years. I left. It felt toxic. It felt the opposite of who I was, even though I could have taken it all the way. I left. I came back years later. I left again. And the reasons that I've left are because it's not who I am. It's not the discussions I want to be having. It doesn't feel like it reflects my life, without trying to act like you're better than, but just knowing that there's something wrong with this way of communicating. And people are on medication. People are on Xanax. I know housewives, many, at minimum 10, that have gone on anti-anxiety medication because of this. And it's like, what? And then they're on the reunion or after the reunion, and they say things like this: I'm still recovering from that reunion. Like, I literally had to talk to my therapist. But this is a self-induced thing for people who already have money. But what does it say about society that crack pipe, you go back to it because you want that fame, you want that relevance, you want that hit. It is dreadful when it's going badly, and it's half the time going badly. So what does it mean, Jerry?
Well, we've grown up in a... People today are growing up in a society where everything is shared. There is no privacy anymore. That all you do, you look at social media, you look at Facebook, you look at whatever. Every second of the day, here, this is what I'm eating for lunch.
Right, right.
You know, this is what my bedroom looks like. This is my kid yelled at me today. But in other words, it's everyone has become addicted to. There is no existence unless there's a camera on.
Well, everyone wants attention, but then that's some version of fame. So people are putting fame. What I see on The Housewives is fame has a higher value than happiness. Do you ever, there's so the level of plastic surgery. I am 51 years old. There's 90% of the women on these shows, 90%. Have had plastic surgery. That's a crazy number. I have not had plastic surgery. I had a boob lift.
Yeah,
that's years ago, 15 years ago. But you start to live in this reality where you think that you should be doing that because everybody's doing it. 99% have filler, and the young girls are doing it too. And I believe that in this case, it's more important to look like you have a great life than to actually have a great life. There's a greater value placed on fame is what I'm seeing.
Well, I have two thoughts on that. Well, I was encouraged to get a facelift, and I decided it's cheaper to have my body lowered. So I've done that. I've just stretched that down. But the idea that, yes, people want some degree of fame, but if you're seeking fame, there's something missing.
Right. Right.
Because you don't need fame. You don't need fame to justify your existence, to give yourself self-worth. And that's why I believe that people that become well-known or famous in their adult years, when they're already in their 40s, can handle it much better than young people, because that's why so many athletes get in trouble.
But it's funny you said in your 40s, because this is a very interesting group where there's nothing more desperate than a woman in her 50s that is gripping on to fame, doesn't feel relevant in their house, can't be relevant in the workplace in any other space than this, because this is a very unique niche where these women reside. These women aren't 50, but now many of the housewives are 50, the late 40s, 50s. It's an amazing career you can create on The Housewives that you wouldn't get anywhere else. You get to be crazy, get drunk, talk about plastic surgery, vajazzling your vagina and shit like that, and behave badly and do better for it. The more badly you behave, the more you are rewarded. So it's a very weird vortex here. Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right. So what are you, the mom, Jacqueline and her daughter, Ashley. It's yes. funny because we're older. We're those people that certain music we don't understand. And we're, of course, those older people. So I'm going to preface it by
you're
saying
not,
that.
Yeah.
You don't think I am, I, whatever.
I have socks your age.
I understand. But still, these kids and the work ethic and the whole thing, right? I just came up in a time you worked 18 hours a day. And I grew up in the Jeffrey Katzenberg, if you're not going to come in on Saturday, don't bother coming in on Sunday mentality. That's how I came up. So Ashley's going and she's crying. And we're not sure exactly why she's crying, but you could tell there's a level of frustration. And I see this in young girls. I've had young girls interview me for jobs, like meaning they're asking me how much they actually have to come in, how much they have to work, the hours, the lunch break. And here I see a young girl and she seems very upset about having to have a commute from New Jersey into New York City, which is not a far commute, that particular commute, and wants to have her own apartment. And I saw an interesting communication style. And I thought ultimately that, as often is, the man is more cool, you know, is calmer in their delivery. And he was sort of delivering the message. She and her mother wanted to just go at it. Both of them just wanted to go at it. But I thought that the mother's message was correct. It was the messaging that wasn't correct, which is often the case. I thought the mother was like, what the hell? You think life's going to just hand you something? And the father was kind of creating boundaries and rules for it. So I wanted to hear what you thought of that dynamic and kids and having money and how you're going to get them to want to work as hard as we did.
that's a common, that was perhaps the most real life situation of the particular show that you had me watch.
I had you watch it. Sorry.
Well,
I owe you.
No. Yeah. But I, as I said, actually then I really enjoyed it.
So you had me watch it too. And they picked you. Yeah. I have to do homework every time too. And I'm always like, but then I enjoy it. Right. Okay.
Because I had to explain to Mickey, my wife, you know, she said, you know, she came up to the office and I'm sitting there watching. She says, what are you doing? And I said, I'm watching Housewives. She says, well, why are you, I mean, you know, not that it's a bad thing, but
yeah, it is.
She's, you know, we've been married 49 years. So she doesn't, you know, this is, she wouldn't think I would do this. And I was like, so anyway, I said, it's a homework. I'm doing it, but
you're going on, you told her, surprise, we're going on the Housewives together.
Yeah.
50 anniversary gift. Okay.
Oh gosh. Yeah. That would be something. So anyway, but that is an apparent discussion with a teenager.
Right.
And, you know, at some level, at some point, that discussion always comes up. I mean, it may come up when you're 14.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't I do this? Well, you know, maybe you got to work for it first. And you know, you can't assume that just because we have money, therefore, you know, you're going to have to work for it. You're going to have to. So that just seemed so real. I thought that was, in terms of reality, I thought that was a real, real discussion. Anyone watching the show, that has kids, has at some point may had that discussion. And people that, it didn't matter whether you were wealthy or not. Even if you're not wealthy, you know, the parent at some point has to say, because the kid's got a friend who's wealthier. How come I can't have that?
Right.
Well, you know, because I don't make so much money. That's why, you know, we can't afford it. But doesn't mean that you can't go out and work and get it at a point. So that was real.
And you've seen on the show other times where they struggle because then they don't want to get the daughter the car and then she's acting like a bitch and then they do get her the car. And in this case, the daughter is genuinely having emotions because she doesn't know what the real world is really like. And those are genuine emotions. And the mother, you know, sometimes you want to, like the other day, my daughter said something about, oh, but all her friends were coming over and it has to be 4, not 5. And we need room in the car. And I literally said, and I really never have said this to my daughter before, but I said, tough shit. Like I said it, but it felt good to say it because it felt like, who the hell do you think you are? And the mother was not being logical. And, you know, men, in many cases that I've seen, can be calmer in these discussions with the kids. They're not also, he also isn't in the day in, day out with the daughter where he wants to rip or buy her ponytail. He's coming home at the end of the day from work, having this logical conversation. I thought that the lesson for us though is the messaging versus the message. Like the, her message was right. Her messaging was not well, great. Jacqueline's.
Right. But you know what? I wonder on this show if there was any possibility that the messaging would be right. Because it's not as if nothing else was going on in the world, and then let's have this discussion.
Right.
It was this daughter growing up and watching, particularly on this show, these adults arguing who had a bigger party, who has a bigger house. I didn't get invited.
Exactly.
In other words, there is such childish behavior by the grown-ups.
Nice.
That all of a sudden, the 19-year-old, you're not going to, you know, if they've just finished a discussion where almost every other word is the F word and stuff like that.
Yes.
And they're arguing over just childish things that have no meaning in the real world.
It's a point.
The message is, who's going to listen to that message?
And in many cases, the mothers don't have careers or work. They can't say, I worked my ass off before I got my own car, because it's not true. And they're acting. Yeah. That's a very interesting point. The role models and the drama and the superficiality and the showing off of the cars and the pretending you have $100,000 to pay for furniture and this big house that you can't afford. It's a lot of bullshit. That's a good point that we know, but I don't talk about enough. So that's a good one. What about first of all, the girl, do you remember Lizzie Grubman? The girl that she works for is the one with the Mercedes SUV that ran over the 15 people in the Hamptons. And she had a big truck. Do you remember that story in the Hamptons that the girl, she was in the Post every day. I went to college with her. I actually know her. She went to Northeastern.
I don't know anything about this.
Okay. She went to Northeastern. I went to BU. You could Google it. It was in the Post, and I'm not exaggerating.
You are an honest woman that lived in Queens.
Every day it was in the paper. Every day she was on the cover of the Post. Lizzie is Grubman, actually my law firm, my lawyer's daughter. Alan Grubman is a big famous entertainment lawyer in music and entertainment. He's actually being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame right like now. Mm. And his daughter, who's a wealthy, wealthy daughter who had a Mercedes SUV, was in the Hamptons at a place called Conscious Point. And she backed out and ran over 15 people in her SUV.
Killed them?
Nobody died, but severely injured. And it was major lawsuits. And it was a major thing. It was just a crazy New York. When not everybody was in the paper every day because it wasn't the internet the same way. And it was crazy. Yeah. So that's who Ashley works for. She has a PR firm that was, you know, she's gotten into trouble in her life. And I know her, but, you know, she lived a fast young life. Okay. So I thought it was interesting. So now Joe's working at a pizza place, which is sort of like, sounds like the producers made sure that Joe had a storyline for the next season and had a job, because no one on these shows would work at a pizza place as a pizza boy, as Teresa called him. So they're going through this sort of bankruptcy. She's calling him her pizza boy. He spoke to her so disrespectfully later when she's asking about his stomach. Like, it seems like they really speak very disrespectfully to each other in the couple. What do you think about them?
Well, it obviously I don't know them, but at least that discussion seemed a little weird. And it's normally not something that someone would talk about on television.
But you're talking about the runs?
Yeah. I mean, but even if you just say, I've got an upset stomach, leave it at that. Too much information. What do you, TMI?
Beyond. My fiance, his number to go on the show, I think it's like $50 or $100 million. There's no number for him because he appreciates his privacy and his happiness. Yeah. And there's nothing they have that he wants. It'd be $150 million to talk about his bowels on television. I mean, I don't think there is a number. I don't think there is a number for him to talk about it, or me to embarrass him and degrade him and talk about it. And then she says, tummy. And he doesn't seem to want to talk about the runs. And then she's in an interview saying, well, no, when I have the runs, it's a very serious matter. And I'm thinking, I think it's for anybody it's a serious matter when you have the diarrhea. It's very serious. Like she acted like it was more serious for her if she had it. It's a different situation. She needs to run to the bathroom, which we understand. Yeah. And, you know, you're going to be late, which we understand. Like, I feel like diarrhea trumps time, being on time. I feel like it trumps the runs trump most things. It just feels serious for everybody.
Yeah, but, you know, it's always the perfect excuse. Because you could be upset that somebody's late, but if they say that, you don't want to know anymore.
It's so true. It's better than COVID or pregnancy. Yeah. The runs are really a good excuse. And we don't, and because it's degrading yourself that you have to get to that point where you say it. See, even Jerry Springer doesn't want to talk about the runs. Right. So anyway, I thought that and they went into it multiple times. And the tummy, I haven't heard anyone talk. You can't, how's your tummy walking into the christening? And now everyone's dressed in nice clothing and we're thinking, I hope it's good. It just felt like a lot of information. I agree. But, you know, that's Jersey. Because in the Gorga house is over here saying with the christening that like Teresa is not on time. And they're saying family comes first. They missed part of the christening and family comes first. In my house, the runs come first and faster. So I feel like that's trumping the christening. And I'm just going to have to say, I'm going to believe that they were telling the truth.
I didn't. And this is just because I hadn't watched the show. So it wasn't clear to me exactly, even though they mentioned it once in a while, I wasn't feeling why these people were so angry at each other. It seemed.
Yes.
Yeah. You would think on a christening, you know, that is a family thing, but people think family's important. You know, in other words, when they were sitting at the table, why did the brother, is the brother Joey or Joe?
It's Joe Gorga, Joe Giudice. Joe Giudice is Juicy Joe, Teresa's husband, who has the runs, which he'll know, it'll be embedded in history. And Joe Gorga is Melissa, the new housewife.
Okay, that Joe.
Gorga.
Gorga. That wasn't the place, probably, if I was his best friend and Melissa tried to calm him down. Don't start up. If she comes over, if your sister comes over and says congratulations again, even if she said it before, don't start a fight about who's on time, who's not on time. You want to have a lovely event for something that has significance in the family and they're going to remember for the rest of their lives. Just don't. And he just says, go away, using bad language or whatever. I don't, you know, it just seemed, why are you picking this fight? Because he made the other Joe, who's married to Teresa, seem like a reasonable guy.
It's funny you say that. Okay, so it's funny.
But that's because I don't know any of the backstory.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeart Radio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, it's funny. There's, you don't know backstory or story that comes later, but like Joe Giudice,
yes,
later ends up, it's seemingly having an affair, and he's like at Napa on a cell phone, referring to Teresa as a C. She's a C because he doesn't realize he's on a hot mic.
Yeah.
But there's some part of him that seems like he's just not thirsty for the fame. Like he's just in the background, just like she's doing this, so he did it too. He doesn't seem like he's on the forefront as a character in the show and doesn't yes. give a shit. And there's something about that that I actually, that gives me a quarter of him that I can tolerate because he doesn't give a shit. And I respect that part, right? So he's not trying to be a star. He doesn't want to. And it seems to me that if Teresa, so you're in Jersey, you know, everyone's probably struggling with money. Everyone I've ever seen on The Housewives doesn't have the money they say. Everyone. Every without exception, they don't have the money they say they do. So let's say that, you know, Teresa and Joe are on the show, and down the street, Joe Gorga, who's charismatic and his wife wants to be a pop star, which is the case, you know, are watching the fame over there. And now it's the third season and it's their time. In the background, Joe Giudice is chummy with Teresa's father and hangs out with him because Joe Gorga is always working. He clearly doesn't yeah. work as much. And so there's a jealousy there in the family. That's bubbling.
Yeah, that came clear.
That's bubbling. And I think Teresa becoming famous quickly on the show is bubbling. So now Melissa is coming on. Teresa didn't want that to happen. And here we are. And based on what you don't know going on currently in 2022, Joe Gorga was just at this Bravo conference on stage, waxing poetic. He loves the stage. He loves being a star, slapping Andy Cohen's ass. You know, he threw a drink, I think, on someone. He came in to play, to be a house husband. So it seems like he did want drama at that christening because he did invite Teresa, whether the producers prodded him or not. But he came to play at that christening okay. and loves that there was a throw. That's what I'm getting.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
That's what I'm. Yeah.
You know that. I it makes sense what you're saying now, because that, if you had never seen the show before, he looks like the bad guy. Now, then you start to feel a little bit that he feels bad because he's losing his relationship with his dad.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's the case and he's had two open heart surgeries, why are you fighting? He could have had a heart attack right there.
Totally.
I
totally.
Mean, that it would seem to me that, television aside, if this totally. Is really true, if his dad really had the open heart surgeries, if that really, and that they said he's all white and he looks, what in the world? Nothing then becomes more important than everyone settle down, give him space. Let's all behave. We got to get, you know, my dad doesn't need this.
It's so true because, well, what's funny is they call the episode In the Name of the Father, but they should have called it Family Comes First, because Gorga is the one who said, family in my house, family, or in the Gorgas, whatever, family comes first. You're not only not caring about the elderly who's now passed away, the father who's dead, and the daughter who's crying. Family does not come first, actually.
Yeah, I know. It was all macho stuff.
Totally yeah. true. Family does not come first, because you would never act like that. And the truth is, oh, the way he spoke to Teresa, too. She walked over to the table, even if she's full of
yeah.
shit. Well, she is full yeah. of shit because she's got diarrhea. But even if she's full of shit, walking over, everybody hates everybody at everything. You go to parties, you got to say, ugh. And then they walk away and you say, I don't like that guy. You play the game. You're at a christening. Hi, nice to see you. You look nice. Thank you. You play the game.
She walks
up and he's like, walk away. Get the yeah. hell away from me. Like, yes. he was nasty.
That's what came across. That was the first thing I noticed in the show, because, well, it was early in the show when they first showed that clip.
Hostile.
Yes. Yeah.
And that hostility provoked, and she really didn't do much. She was an outsider. Another thing we didn't talk about. You were a host on your show. No matter how bad somebody was to you, you're still the host. They're in your house. Didn't you feel that way?
Yeah, but Yes. Well, I'm sure I have many weaknesses, but I don't have a temper and I don't curse. So
but even treating someone disrespectfully, they walk into your house. This is the Gorgas event. They're hosting. Yeah. They invited Teresa. She walks in. Think about the way they acted.
Yeah.
Ostracized their guests.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, I would. When they come on to the when these people came on to the show, 90% of them I liked, just a person, and because they didn't have everything I had in life. You know what I mean?
Right.
They weren't lucky. Maybe they didn't have luck in the gene pool of parents.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have the education, whatever. So there, but for the grace of God, go I. So I never thought I was better than anyone who was ever on the show.
Right.
So therefore, I never got angry, even if they started cursing at me. Well, they weren't.
Right.
It
was each other. You weren't the conflict.
Right. If they're coming on the show, they don't hate me. Otherwise, why would they come on the show?
No, I just mean if you're having a party at your house with your wife and someone does something really that you don't like, they're a guest in your home and you have to act differently.
Exactly.
It's the same. You're a guest in someone else's home. You have to act a certain way. And when you have a guest in your home, you have to act a certain way. And they invited her and were nasty to Teresa, in my opinion. Like,
well,
unacceptable.
99% of people behave. They really do. I'm not saying they don't have moments, but when you meet someone, you say, how do you do?
Right.
You know, you behave a certain way when you go to your church. You behave a certain way when you're around strangers you haven't met yet. You're in someone's house, as you said. You behave. You don't knock over things. You don't. It's just normal, polite behavior. Most people are polite.
Right. And what's funny is I'm more conservative than people think I am because of the way that I speak and because I curse or I'm outspoken. I remember going to, I think it was a bat mitzvah, and there were people smoking pot like outside in the back, and I thought that was so disrespectful. Like, I'm so naive. And I heard that at my wedding, people were smoking pot. And I don't know why I thought that was disrespectful. It's also double standard because pot and alcohol in many ways, and many people think alcohol is worse than pot. But I don't know why I thought that was disrespectful. But doing shots at a christening, for some reason, just have a drink, have a glass of wine, have a vodka. Doing shots seems very juvenile at a christening. It just seems like, are you in college?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you sit, they're all, let's do a shot. Like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, I think if you're going to something that is basically, look, it's not for me to say what people do at christenings, but if it's a religious
situation, what I'm saying.
Yeah, you behave differently than you do when you're out with your friends on a Friday night in a nightclub.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think you're doing funnels at a bat mitzvah. It's a Jewish event. That's what I'm saying. So I'm saying what you're saying. I'm saying you do shots later on at the nightclub after the christening. It's the afternoon. Also, I may be wrong. I've been to christenings. Why was everybody wearing like bridesmaids dresses? Did you notice that the women that were getting there in the room, the sisters, and you don't know?
Yeah, well, because I don't know what you normally would wear.
My assistant has had a christening. I've never heard of, like, I thought in the bathroom.
Well, because it was on television. They know they're on television and they want to look cool. I'm going to show off my daughter. My daughter is going to look better than their daughter.
Right, but no, the grown sisters of that were in the bathroom talking about the glam wearing, matching dresses.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know. Maybe you're supposed to, but I didn't know.
It was bizarre. Okay. So ultimately, whose side are you on?
Oh, whose side am I on?
Yeah.
Well, in the show, I was liking every one of them. I really felt like I understood their character. The only thing I didn't understand. So I wasn't sitting there to be judgmental.
No, right.
Yeah. The only thing I didn't understand, and I told myself that that's because I don't know the background story, but I thought Melissa's Joe, or, you know,
Joe
Teresa's
Gorga.
Brother, Gorga, Joe Gorga, that he's the one that raised the temperature in the place.
He instigated
That no one else was coming in ready to fight.
Got it. Nice. Yeah,
they could have been, you know, they could have been hiding their true feelings or whatever. But the only one who walked in there saying, you know, just don't step on my toes the wrong way. You know, just don't
give me an excuse.
Give me an excuse because I'm ready to fight. I don't think anyone else went there. You know, unless that's what the producers wanted or whatever.
No. But, yeah.
So there was no one. I could really relate to Caroline. You know, kids leaving home. I understood that. As I said, I really understood the conversation Jacqueline and Chris were having with Ashley, with their daughter. So I think they all. Nothing shocked me in terms of, you know, you'd like to think that, wait a second, what are we really fighting about? What are we arguing about? Mm-hmm. But I do understand, perhaps, when you're now telling me that, that the backstory was that Teresa was unhappy with Melissa suddenly coming on the show and, you know, stealing some of the.
Totally. And it still goes on today. They still, all these years later, that was years ago. All these years later, Teresa just got remarried and Melissa did not. I don't think she went to her wedding. And there's a competition that runs deep and it still stems from that and probably other things, but it definitely stems from that. Caroline left the show and I actually want to talk to her about something in television. She left the show. I know that Bravo would always love her to come back in some capacity and she would like to come back in some capacity, but she left the show and is sort of like a den mother. Jacqueline, I believe, was let go. And I actually think Jacqueline is a decent housewife. There has to be some caulk in between the tiles. Like there's got to be some filler. I don't think she jumps off the page and is the most mercurial housewife. There have to be some temperature reducing housewives mixed in. Kathy also was let go. And I liked her husband, the Lebanese guy, Richie.
Oh, yeah.
They came on my talk show, too. I've always sort of liked them for some reason. I don't know why. Yeah. But that, again, I don't think there's any room for filler. It's like they want all people that really bring things to the table. So the current state of housewives, there aren't a lot of filler. And when you're on the housewives, you don't want filler yourself too. You're like, get out of the way, filler person, because I want to go where the meat is and we got to get these ratings up. So maybe I'm contradicting myself based on, but as a viewer, you need some people that aren't always going to be at a 10.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise the 10 doesn't seem like a 10 anymore.
So what was this christening fight? A 6? A 5?
No, that was, I'd say a 6 or 7.
Could have gotten to a 9 if not.
Well, yeah, obviously there was no one was taking furniture and smashing a head in or something like that. Right. You know. Yeah.
Well, Teresa did flip a table at one point, but yes, not in that episode. But that. But okay, 7 is all 7.
But the thing which, you know, the dad, that was going on. That's the first thing that struck me when they started the fight.
The dad.
You know, someone says, that's his father, because you couldn't see who was in the fight. And then I'm thinking, oh my gosh.
Part I forgot. Right. And then at the end, it seems like the father's very disappointed. It's not very often that a father's taking the side of the son-in-law. Yeah. Versus the son. That's
got to Joe. That probably is the thing that hits them more than what's going on with Teresa.
If I think about their current arguments, there's no, the parents, I think the mother's passed, I don't know, but the father's dead. So there's nobody to keep anybody in check, meaning they could fight as much as they want now because they don't have to worry about what the father thinks or his approval or anything like that. Yeah. It sounds like you, relate to Caroline the most in the of the whole episode. If you had to be one character, who would it be?
Gosh, I don't know. I mean, it's hard for me to relate to. But yeah, Caroline probably, in terms of, you know, I'm 78 years old.
Right.
So Caroline was the only one who was within 30 years of my age.
Okay. So, and
you know, so it's, but they, all of them had what I consider electric personalities.
Nice.
I mean, they all, you noticed every one of them. And I don't mean just because they're all good looking.
Right.
But just, they had something going on there.
Charisma. And okay.
They have charisma. Exactly. When they came on the scene, they were noticeable. So
nice.
Whoever did the casting did a good job.
That's nice. That's nice. They'll probably love to hear that. And who? Only two more questions. What's the rose and thorn? What was the best part of the? I know the best could be something bad that you didn't like, but the best part of the episode and the worst.
Well, the runs was the worst.
Okay.
I mean, just.
I know. We don't need it.
Well, the most exciting part, obviously, was the fighting part. That's,
okay.
The
runs.
But the ones where I was invested in was the parents talking to the door to Ashley.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought Jacqueline was excellent in that episode. I think there was no bad part. Maybe because I was so concentrating, because I knew I would have to. I'd be tested.
Yeah.
So I really, as I said, I drew diagrams. I got up this morning.
Please keep those. Just don't throw those away. I may want those at some point for something. Yeah. I don't know why, but I think Jerry Springer's diagrams on The Housewives seems like something that I will want.
That should go on eBay.
Yeah, I'd like to frame them if it's all the same to you. So my producer is going to get those because I just feel like these are Jerry Springer's diagrams on The Housewives. I mean, exactly. Thank you.
Horrible
I need them. Thank you. Yeah, I need those. It's funny. You're reminding me. I like Jacqueline. I like Jacqueline as a housewife. And then I guess the last thing, which I think we know, but you could crystallize it. What's the takeaway of the episode? What's the life lesson? The family should come first?
Well, it you start out with, you have the deepest connection to the family. And the family is there when you're born, when you're, a young child, the impressionable years. So the family never leaves. But as we grow up, then we marry someone, we have an extended family, we have relationships with people we work with. So your life becomes more complicated. All you have to do is look at how you spend your Thanksgivings over the years.
Mm.
First you were always at, quote, home with mom.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, well, now every other year you're with the other family.
Mm-hmm.
And then that becomes your family. And then your kids, they live in another city. Then you're going there. So the family is tossed around a lot.
Yes.
But it has many, many parts to it.
And, yes, Jerry. Love that. That's so prophetic.
So you can't just say family comes first, because what is the family anymore? Mom and dad, what happens when mom and dad aren't around anymore?
Yes.
Now you have children, and when you're married, you have your grandkids. So then the family just keeps growing and growing and growing.
If you're Italian,
it's a very large family.
It's a very, very interesting thing you bring up, because you've been married for, you said, 47 years, right?
49.
49 years. So your wife, in the first 5 years, was your family, but not totally your family. I mean, it could have gone sideways, and I'm sure it almost did, like every other couple, a million times. But your wife really became your real blood family. But that evolves, and then I bet after all those years, your wife's family became your family.
Sure,
that's it's true. Like, my fiance and I have been together 4 years. My relationship with his mother is different than it was before. I'll just call her on my own all the time and just say something or complain about him. My daughter loves his mother and wants to see her as her family. And my daughter loves my fiance more than anyone. It's like, lives for him. So that's, it's interesting what you say. Yeah, that's true. So, and everybody can't always just get along. And so I guess, and Teresa now has a new husband, and that's now her family with her kids. And Joe's family is Melissa, that, and their parents are, that's a great, I know it sounds like a simple point. I'm glad I asked that question, because I almost didn't, because we had talked about it so much, but it was my favorite part of talking to you. I just don't think of it that way. The family's shifting.
Usually the favorite part of talking to me is the end.
That's what they say at parties.
Yeah.
When Jerry's about to leave, I have the best time ever.
Like when people come up and they talk about my show, they say to me, I loved your final thought because it was the show was over.
That's very Jewish thing to say. Yeah. That's amazing. Well, tell your wife, thank you for letting me borrow you and you watching The Housewives. That's why I really love the show, Jerry, because it's so ridiculous. Like, why are Jerry Springer and I talking about Joe Gorga? Like, why? It makes no sense, but it makes all the sense in the world because you gave me such an amazing, poetic answer.
And I'm sure if I met Joe Gorga, I would just say, hey, guy, how you doing?
Right.
Because I grew up with a lot of Joe Gorgas.
I bet you might. Maybe since, because of the show, you'll meet Joe Gorga.
Yeah. But he could hurt me.
He also is very sweet. I've met him. He's very nice and very gentle. He could hurt you. He's very sensitive. This is his first foray ever onto television. He wanted to come in hot and he did. And I don't watch that much either. I don't watch that much. So I'm watching new with you. Thank you so much. I want to meet you.
You're great, Bethany.
I really do. Tell your wife I said hello. Love to your family. And thank you for doing this.
Sweet. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to ReWives today. I mentioned it all, and now it's your turn. Please take a minute to rate, review, and subscribe, and follow the show's Instagram at ReWives with Bethany. Is there an episode you want to hear me talk about? Comment on any ReWives with Bethany Instagram post, and our producers will add your selects to our list. See you next time.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
We are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.